Oh, there's a correction. I'm informed that 38 is also included. 38 and 39 have no purport, so we'll just read 38, 39, and then we'll go on to 40, which has a purport. Kodich alpam kodich bhuri bunje nama aswada hava kadich bhuri gunapitam gunahinam uta kvachit. Sometimes I eat a very small quantity and sometimes a great quantity. Sometimes the food is very palatable and sometimes it is stale. Therefore, sometimes prasad is offered with great respect and sometimes food is given neglectfully. Sometimes I eat during the day and sometimes at night. Thus, I eat what is easily available. 39. Shumam dukhanam ajinam chiram vartyam eva va vasenyadapi sampraptam dishtam bhukha tasham dhiraham. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. To cover my body, I use whatever is available, whether it be linen, silk, cotton, bark, or deer skin, according to my destiny, and I am fully satisfied and unagitated. Text 40, what is written here? Kvachichaya drana praste trana pranasam pumasu kachit prasad pranayanke prasipava prarechaya. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Sometimes I lie on the surface of the earth, sometimes on leaves, grass, or stone, sometimes on a pile of ashes, or sometimes, by the will of others, in a palace, on a first-class bed with pillows. Purport by Prabhupada. The learned Brahmana's description indicates different types of births. The learned Brahmana's description indicates different types of births, for one lies down according to one's body. Sometimes one takes birth as an animal and sometimes as a king. When he takes birth as an animal, he must lie down on the ground. And when he takes birth as a king or a very rich man, he's allowed to lie in the first-class rooms in huge palaces decorated with beds and other furniture. Such facilities are not available, however, at the sweet will of the living entity. Rather, they are available by the supreme will, parechaya, or the arrangement of maya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayasthi Arjunasthi Sthati Brahmayam Sarva Bhutani Yantradrudhani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. O Arjun, it is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. The living entity, according to his material desires, receives different types of bodies which are nothing but machines offered by material nature according to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the will of the Supreme, one must take different bodies with different means for lying down. Excuse me. The learned Brahmana's description indicates different types of births, for one lies down according to one's body. So we've had 84 lakh types of births, so it's 8,400,000 types. In the last 400,000, we come to the human form of life. There are many, many human forms of life throughout the universe, or universes, ours being the smallest universe, and therefore we should not be proud that we have got a very superior body or a birth, because our birth is just one of those 400,000. And it's possible that next birth, if you're not careful, like Jad Bharat, a slight deviation, a slight fall, and he became born as a deer, as an animal, in which case you have to lie on the floor to sleep. Otherwise, as stated in the purport, by the grace of Lord Krishna, or by the arrangement of Maya, Maya doesn't have any grace to give you. She just gives you punishment. And that's the arrangement of punishment. The flip side of the coin is the grace of Krishna. So if you are a devotee, you get the grace of Krishna. If you are a non-devotee, bad luck. You got the flip side of grace, which is called Maya. And therefore, you get punishment. And therefore, you might become a snake. A few days ago, I was at my farm, and I saw a huge 6-foot snake. And it was having a hard time because it was too hot on the stone. And it was burning. And the poor thing had to go on and on. But this watchman had no sympathy or mercy for that snake. Before I could say anything, bang, came his rod, and the snake was dead. Poor thing. So that's what happens. You never know what will happen. Padam, padam, vipadam. Lord Chaitanya says, actually it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, padam, padam, vipadam. At every footstep or every movement, there is danger in this material world. And what does Bhagavad Gita say in 18.61? The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Earlier also in 15.15, Sarvasya Chaham Radhisan Nivishto Smritir Gnana Ponancha Vedesya Sarver Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krutved. So Krishna says, I as the Paramatma is situated in everyone's heart. And that is a fact, because if you want to experience that, just do an extremely bad thing and you'll immediately start repenting. I shouldn't have ever done that. That's the consciousness of two types, your own consciousness and the consciousness of Krishna. That's why the most important words in the English language are Krishna consciousness. The most important two words in the English language are Krishna consciousness. By the grace of, divine grace of Srila Prabhupada, we've come to know that there is such a thing as Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, no school, no university ever taught that to anybody. We've learnt it right here due to the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. So here it says that the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjun, and this is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on as a machine made of material energy. Now, who's seen a machine made of material energy? We've seen machines made of iron and steel or stainless steel. These days they have submarines made of titanium. But nobody has seen a machine made of energy. Now this is a very subtle energy. And therefore, since the soul is very subtle, the machine it uses is also very subtle. It's very clear. The body is very material, isn't it? The body has the same composition as the earth. The earth's composition is about 72% water plus minerals, etc. So this body is also 72% water plus calcium, iron, etc., etc., all minerals. Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamajate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Shishate from Isopanishad. So from the whole, complete, WHOLE, not the HOLE, from whole, 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 comes more wholes, not HOLE, WHOLE. So, and that is issued from the original whole, and yet the original whole remains the same. That's spiritual mathematics, that 1 minus 1 is equal to 1, or infinity minus infinity is equal to infinity. That's more important. Because anybody who is a student of maths will know this, that infinity, by definition, means countless. So if you take out more countless, you are still left with countless. So infinity minus infinity is infinity. But because Krishna is full of all the Ashtasiddhis, 8 major siddhis, and how many minus siddhis? 12 minus siddhis, right? So 20. So 8 siddhis are, which are the Lagima, Ganima, Prakramya, Ashita, Vashita, etc. So he can be the smallest of the small. He can be smaller than an atom. Okay, so recently near Geneva in Switzerland, they have made, I think about 1.5 years ago, Atom Buster, as they call it. A huge, big tube, in simple terms I am saying. And they smash atoms to study what happens when the atom is smashed. Of course, another feature of smashing atoms is when fusion or fission takes place, you have an atom bomb. But here is peaceful use of atoms. The Swiss are known for being peaceful people. We have one gentleman from Switzerland here, a good friend of mine. He's very peaceful. He doesn't carry any atom bombs with him. Like some of the guys up north near Pakistan and Afghanistan. So here we have a peaceful use of atom, and they smash these atoms and they take instant, very, very fast photographs. And they want to know what happened. Where's the energy? What happened to the energy? So what a much earlier scientist called Albert Einstein, also worked in the Swiss Department of Patents office, he had found after years and years of research and getting a Nobel Prize in the process, which carries a huge amount of money, fortunately, he got this formula called E is equal to mc squared. E is energy, and m is mass, and c is the speed of light. So c squared means a very, very high speed, because as it is, the speed of light is very, very fast, 186,000 miles an hour. So if you square that, it's fantastic. And therefore, if you multiply that by the mass of uranium-238 and you smash it at that speed, the energy released in joules is absolutely fabulous. So what these guys are doing in Geneva is these atom smashers, they try to find out what makes this thing tick. But unfortunately, so far, what they've come up with is a dual thing, because this world is a dual world. Day and night, heat and cold, right? Happiness and distress. So they found out that even the atom has a dual function. It has a very, very tiny mass, but it also has energy. So sometimes it appears as energy, like waves, you know, like you can see in an oscilloscope. And sometimes you see it as mass, and you can weigh it in very, very tiny way. So even a piece of atom has duality in this world. The smallest of the smallest. What is that? Ashita, Vashita, Prakramya, Lagima, Mahima. So Lagima. Lagima is smaller than the smallest. And Mahima is the bigger than the biggest, isn't it? So here we go. Krishna is saying that you, I, all people all dogs, monkeys, in India we have a lot of monkeys, all everything, all creatures will travel eventually on an machine made of material energy. So we must be clear in our concept that we have to ride on a machine eventually when we die, which is made up of material energy. Now what happens is this material energy cannot go beyond Brahmalok, because that's the limit of material energy, because it cannot penetrate beyond that river called Viraja. And after that starts the Vaikuntha Lok, which is the spiritual world. And there you require a spiritual energy machine, because everything in this world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. What is that 15.1 shlok? Urdha Mulamada Shakam. Exactly. Urdha Mulamada Shakam. So everything in this world is a perverted reflection. So we have, for instance, Prabhupada keeps saying this, that in this material world, supposing somebody is doing extremely well. When we say extremely well, usually it means money. So supposing somebody is making a lot of money in this world, there will be all sorts of people trying to pull him down, isn't it? They'll try to take away his money, pickpockets or thieves or competitors or whatever you call them, isn't it? Or you go to the marketplace, Bombay Stock Exchange, they'll really know how to take away the money. So they take away millions and trillions of rupees. Correct? But in the spiritual world, it's the opposite. Ours is a perverted reflection. So the spiritual world, they are giving you all the time. There's nobody who wants to take any of your things. That's very important. In the spiritual world, even the children are trying to give to the parents. Because in this material world, it's the parents who are bound to give to their children only. The child is all the time wanting this, wanting that. But in the spiritual world, Papa, how can I serve you? Krishna carries Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head and gives it to Nanda Maharaj. Because Krishna is never material. Krishna is never affected by Maya. He serves Nanda Maharaj. He serves Yashoda Mai. Yashoda Mai thinks, because she is after all Jivatma, but a great Jivatma. We'll discuss that next. Yashoda Mai thinks that she must serve her breast milk, otherwise Krishna will be so hungry, he may starve, he may get sick or something. All mothers think like that. And therefore they keep on feeding you too much. And then you really become sick. But that's because that's the material world. So there is no sickness in the material, in the spiritual world. There cannot be. Because there is no... sickness is usually due to giving the wrong thing. Either wrong food or the wrong water or the wrong something. And you get sometimes the wrong breath also. Somebody has got TB and I'm next to him all the time. Or whatever. A cold. I'm bound to get his breath through the air, the virus. Or from the water. Or from the food. But in the spiritual world, you're not taking the wrong thing. You're giving the right thing at all times. Because that's a perverted, this is a perverted reflection. So the real thing is the other way around. So everybody is giving you good things. Nobody is giving you anything which is bad for us. Therefore, Prabhupada says, we just have to make the best of a bad bargain. After all, Prabhupada was like me, a businessman. So everything, we take it in the terms of, you know, the marketplace, the market economics, as they say. So Prabhupada says, in this world, just make the use or make the best of a bad bargain. We've made a bad bargain, all of us. How did we make a bad bargain? By entering into this material world. Because the moment you enter into, say, a casino, which is even far worse, then you start gambling and you lose all your money. As Maharaj was saying the other day, very nicely he said, Radhanath Swami, that when you enter a casino, I didn't know how he knew that, but anyway, I know it because I have been to Las Vegas. They make sure that you earn some money at least. It's like a mouse, you know. They give you little pieces of cheese outside. And the mouse thinks, oh, this is lovely. I'm getting cheese. Oh, there's more cheese. Oh, there's still more cheese. And inside, there's still more cheese. Gets in, and he's in a trap. That's what happens in this material world. Las Vegas is a perfect citadel, or like a temple of Maya. It really is a binding force. It gets you in, entices you in gradually, and then you get the sweet taste initially. Krishna says so in Bhagavad Gita. Initially, when you get sweet taste, at the end it is all bitterness. Means initially it's sweet and then it's poison at the end. But what is poison in the beginning is nectar at the end. What is nectar? Nectar is a Sanskrit word called amrut. Mrut is death in Sanskrit. Mrut means death. And a means no. So amrut means no death. In this world, there is birth, death, old age and disease. So in the spiritual world, what happens, I asked once Giriraj Maharaj, my Shiksha Guru, that, okay, if there is birth here in this material world, what happens in the spiritual world? That's what happens. The curtain opens. And that's the spiritual world. That's exactly what happens. There's no birth. There's only an opening of the curtain. Because in this world, Krishna is behind the curtain. So you don't see him. Okay? And that's why the gopis were saying, what did the gopis tell Brahma? You remember? What sort of an engineer are you, chief engineer? Brahma is the chief engineer of the universe. And Brahma said, what do you mean, what sort of a chief engineer I am? I did everything for everybody. So many things I've constructed. Planets, everything. She says, no, but the eyelids. My eyelid is closing for a fraction of a second every time. And therefore I can't see Krishna. So this means the gopis have that bhav, gopi bhav, that they don't want to miss Krishna even for a split second. Now this brings us to this subject today. The title is The Behavior of a Perfect Person. So here we have, as stated in the purport, the Jivatma is always traveling. Where is it written? It says here that the Jivatma is going through different births and deaths, etc. But it's always traveling. So Prahlad Maharaj is traveling. He's a king of the whole place because Hiranyakashipu is gone. He's history. But the point is, Prahlad Maharaj is there. Though he is the greatest of all devotees, how do we know he's the greatest of all devotees? Because the whole 18,000 shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, the maximum number of words, one particular word comes, is Krishna. And the second maximum number of word comes is Prahlad. Means if you take a computer and ask the computer, find out how many times Krishna's name comes, and it'll give you the figure. And then if you ask the computer how many times the next word comes, it'll say Prahlad. So that means the most important person in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. That's why his name is the maximum. And the second most important person in the whole of Bhagavatam is Prahlad, because it comes second most number of times. Still, Prahlad Maharaj, though he is such a great personality, he was by force of nature, while he was in the womb of his mother, he was in Shantaras because he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do dasyam, he couldn't serve, he couldn't associate with friends, therefore no sakhyaras, he couldn't be vatsalyaras obviously, or madhuryas. So Prahlad Maharaj started his spiritual path as Shantaras because he was in the womb of his mother and therefore he had to just stay put and listen to the Bhagavatam, which was spoken by none other than the greatest authority on Bhagavat, that is Narad Muni. So we have these five positive rasas and seven negative rasas. So these five positive rasas, the Prahlad Maharaj started with Shantaras. Okay? And then what happened is, when he became a young man or a child, 5 years old, he started Dasya Ras because he started serving his friends. And he promoted himself to a bhav known as Sakhya Ras. A friend in need is a friend indeed. So he proved it. So he told all his friends that, why are we wasting our time? What is that shlok? Kumaro Parachit? Kuraman? Acharit Parachit. That's right. Said, why are we wasting our time as young men? Young men are supposed to do great things. Because later on when we become old, we can't do those things, good things. We don't have enough energy to do it. Of course, we are, except Prabhupada. The older he got, more energy he got. But that's a different energy he got. He got pure spiritual energy, Radharani's personal blessings on him, because his father used to ask every saintly person who would come to their home, please ask Radharani to bless my son. And they used to all bless Prabhupada as a child. So he got lots and lots of blessings from Radharani. And that's why he got so many things, Prabhupada. He got energy, because Radharani is a source of energy, all energy. Not only Haladani Shakti, but all the three. Samvit and Sandini Shakti. And then he got, she's also the origin of Mahalakshmi and all the Lakshmi, Ananta Koti Lakshmi. So he got a lot of wealth. I know, because we had to fight a suit in the Bombay High Court filed by Prabhupada's eldest son. And he said, when Prabhupada left this world, he said, everything belongs to me. I'm the son. I'm the eldest son. And he filed a case, actually, against ISKCON. And I was an assistant to Giriraj Maharaj, who was assigned by the GBC to fight the case. So I said, let me get Prabhupada's will, because that's the most important document, the last testament or the last will. Unfortunately, I made a photocopy and kept it. Being a businessman, I thought someday it'll be very valuable. If Mahatma Gandhi's specs are so valuable and his chappals, maybe Prabhupada's will be the greatest, most valuable thing. So we filed those papers in the Bombay High Court, Giriraj Maharaj did. Fortunately, we won the case, of course. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And his son was defeated. But what the judge said was fantastic. The judgment said that we have to go by the last will of the person who is deceased. Deceased means left this world. And in that will, Prabhupada's actual wording is that I am bestowing on my family so much money which ISKCON must give every month to maintain their family. So the judge said, you are already being maintained by ISKCON. So ISKCON is the maintainer and you are the recipient. So you are the beneficiary. So ISKCON is greater than you. Otherwise, you should be maintaining ISKCON. The other way around, right? Everybody understood that? So the judgment was very nice. And of course, we were very happy that Prabhupada's will was so perfect. Everything about Prabhupada was perfect. Because I tried for, I think, 5 years to find fault in Prabhupada's letters, books, if there was any contradiction. He was perfect. Behavior of a perfect person, Srila Prabhupada. Right in front of our eyes, a perfect person. A perfect person, according to the English dictionary, see the Oxford Dictionary, written by Dr. Johnson, professor of Oxford University in English, he made the Oxford Dictionary. Why? Because the House of Lords in England, which is the like the Supreme Court, they asked him that, let's know each word by word of English language, what it means perfectly. So a perfect person is supposed to speak perfectly. So Prabhupada spoke perfectly, because I used to verify what Prabhupada said. Like, for instance, Prabhupada said, Supreme Personality of Godhead. I used to scratch my head, and I used to say, what is God and head to do with it? And then I read in the dictionary, and there it was. Oxford Dictionary had that, Godhead, Supreme Being. I said, okay. And then next, nobody can be equal or greater than him. Oh, great. So this means a perfect person only uses perfect language. And if we follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, we can't go amiss. We will go in the right direction. You see, it's quite clear, right? If somebody follows a perfect map and follows a perfect route, which is laid out by a perfect person, we are going to go not on a material energy machine, but on a spiritual energy machine. That's the goal. Please try to remember. Don't get scared if a spiritual energy machine comes. That I don't know. I only know cars and I only know trains and airplanes. How can I get on a spiritual machine? Because you are bound to get, those are few on this in this room, and my friends below who are cooking, who are listening to this, they are bound to get on a spiritual machine. People get scared, you know, when they don't see something before. Somebody has not introduced him to it. So I'm introducing to you the original of the perverted reflection. The perverted reflection is the material machine. And the spiritual perfection of the perfect person is this spiritual machine. So Prabhupada wrote this will in which he very, very clearly specifies what we have to do. He says, my body is the GBC, Governing Body Commission. And these are the members. And this is how members, in case somebody goes away or dies or whatever, new bodies will be created. So, in the material world, we have bodies and antibodies, right? I mean, those who are biologists or biochemists will know this, that we keep on removing our old cells and we get fresh new cells. Of course, as an old man, the new cells are less and the old cells are more. That's why it's an old person. So as a child, you get more new cells than old ones. So you grow and become young man, the young cells. But the trick of the trade, this is the best part, the trick of the trade is shown by Prabhupada. How to always remain young. How to always remain energetic. I mean, there are billions of dollars being spent by cosmetic industry and pharmaceutical industry. There is a city called Baal or Basel in English in northern part of Switzerland where there are huge Novartis and Hoffmann a la Roche. Is that right? That's the name of the pharmaceutical company, the leading companies of the world. They're searching and searching for the answer, how to always remain young or free from disease. These are the two things on their agenda. All they have to do is to read Bhagavatam. It's all there. And it's not even patented. It's free. You don't even have to pay royalty. You see? Now, what's the formula? Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. I think you all are very, very hungry. You've not had your prasad, breakfast. You're shouting, you're not saying loud enough. Once more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Now what happens is this. Every medicine has got potency. 25 milligrams, less potency. 50 milligrams, double potency. 100 milligrams, four times potency. So the louder you chant, Never mind what happens to your throat. Just chant the holy name of the Lord. You can drink water after that. And then Krishna listens. How do you know? Because even a mother doesn't give milk. There's a saying in the Gujarati language. The mother even doesn't give milk unless the child cries for the milk. And supposing she has two children, the one who cries louder gets the milk. Simple as that. So, it's in our interest. You know, everything is finally self-interest. We must know this. We mustn't fool ourselves. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants the best things for himself. And Prabhupada is offering it. Prabhupada says, take this happiness, the bowl of happiness. And what is this bowl of happiness? Prasad. Simple. If you eat nice prasad, which is, all prasad is nice, but there are, you know, grades of nicer and nicer and nicest. But prasad is prasad. It's mercy of the Lord. So if you keep eating prasad, gradually, you become purified. And there is a, there was in the old BTG, there was an article by someone called, I am a prasad addict. You know, in those days, in the 60s, late 60s, there was a lot of addiction to drugs, like LSD or, I don't know, heroin or something. And these guys used to think that by pumping in some chemicals, they would go to nirvana. Now this morning I was listening to Prabhupada's lecture while shaving. What is nirvana? Nirvana means to be free from material contamination. And these guys were contaminating themselves more and more by pumping chemicals, and they thought they were going to nirvana. Now that's called maya. That is pure 100% maya. Okay? Where you're pumping in chemicals in your blood system, thinking that you are going to be purified and going to nirvana. But real nirvana, Prabhupada says, is by associating with devotees, eating prasadam, chanting, reading these Bhagavatam and other holy books, and having deities in your house, and seeing that you are constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. Just like, supposing you are in touch with a live wire. Of course, it's insulated. But supposing it was just copper wire, and I touch it, I would get a shock because there's energy flowing through it. Now, that energy is electrical energy inside. But if you are in touch with the spiritual energy, naturally you'll get not a shock, because the material energy, it's urdha mulabhadra shakam, the worst thing, the electric shock. You may die even. But in the spiritual energy, that touching of that energy gives you the highest benefit, because it's a reverse reflection. Is that clear? Yes? So now I start my lecture. This was the introduction. The what they call, starters. I said that the most important two words in the English language I know of is Krishna and consciousness. So let's analyze what's Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akrishniti Krishnaha in Sanskrit. All attractive. The personality who has all the six opulences unlimitedly. You know the opulences. And consciousness. Now this is the important thing. Everybody in this room is conscious. There's no dead person here, fortunately. So the soul has consciousness, very, very tiny. Our soul is 1/10,000 of a tip of a hair. Your hair, of course, most of you are not bald, but you have few devotees who have voluntarily become bald. And they, the tip of their hair, 1/10,000, if you slice to 1/10,000, that is the size of the soul, scientifically. Therefore, the consciousness of Krishna and our consciousness is 1/10,000 of a consciousness of a hair of Krishna. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. You heard this? Everybody says so, right? That we are part and parcel of Krishna. So I tried to inquire, which part? You know, okay, we are part and parcel of Krishna, accepted. But then which part? So then I realize that he has consciousness and Krishna has hair. And if he has 1/10,000 of the tip of his hair, that's what we are. And therefore we are 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair of Krishna as consciousness. I mean, I'm talking geometry, you know. In geometry you go 1, 1, 1, 1, mathematics, step by step, then QED, quite easily done. So it's not quite easily done. It's some Latin word. But anyway, so then you must realize that our consciousness is very, very tiny. It's like a spark of a little tiny fire. There's a huge big bonfire and the spark's coming out. And if they fly, the spark goes on the ground, which means material energy, then it extinguishes. But if it gets back into the fire, then it again becomes powerful, strong. Giriraj Maharaj used to give the example of this grape. You know grapes? Now if you dry the grape, it becomes kismis, you know, in Hindi we say kismis. Nothing to do with kissing. It has, it's like sultana, you know, the English, the resins, R-A-I-S-E-N? S-I-N? Okay, resins. But if you put that resin back overnight in a glass of water, what happens? Lo and behold, in the morning, you're a grape. You see? So the water, what the water is to the grape, the chanting of the holy name is to the soul. Is that clear now? Okay? The taste comes for that grape, for that, not grape, for that resin. The water is a life-giving thing to get it back into the original shape. So if we want to get back into original shape, right, we have to get back into the holy name of the Lord. Constantly. What is that famous? Tranadapi sunichena, tarorapi saishunam, amani namanadena kirtaniya, sada hari, sada. Kirtaniya, sada, sada means always. But to do that, one has to become humble, which is very impossible, difficult in this world. Because it's only possible if you are a perfect person. And this gentleman, Prahlad Maharaj was trying to find out. He knew he was a perfect gentleman. But Prahlad was very humble. So he never said, oh, what are you talking about? At 5 years of age, even God had to come and see me. I didn't have to go there. He never said that. But the fact is that Narsi Bhagwan came and apologized to Prahlad Maharaj. Can you imagine? If you had God come to you and say, I'm so sorry, Prabhuji, I'm so late. And you say, oh, never mind, never mind. Thank you for coming. That's not what happened. What happened was Prahlad Maharaj said, no, why did you take the trouble of coming? I mean, I was quite happy. You know, like, and he never was unhappy. Why? Because he had no false ego. Now, we all have ego, but our ego is attached to false things. When you're attached to a false thing, it becomes a false ego. So it's the attachment which brings the false ego. It's the attachment which brings anger. It's the attachment which gives lust. It's the attachment which gives us illusion. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, mad, matsa. So it's the attachment. Attachment means a glue. Right? How's this attached to this? It's attached by a glue. The carpenter put a glue between the two pieces of wood. So an attachment is a glue. We've just got to get rid of that glue. Now, you know very well that if there is a very sticky glue, it's very difficult to get detached. Your skin may come out, but that glue won't come out. You know? They are very careful. They write on the tube that please don't allow this glue to touch your skin. I have seen a person getting his two fingers attached to each other with a glue. And he has to go to a hospital and the doctor has to operate and remove that skin from both sides and allow the skin to grow later. It's as bad as that in the material world. Which are the attachments? Everybody knows. Attachment. The biggest attachment is the sexual attachment. Unfortunately, nowadays we have even attachment to the same sex. I mean, I don't know how that's ever possible, but it's done. So that's the worst attachment. And therefore, the perfect person is the one who realizes that I'm getting attached wrongly. Now, does this mean that we should not get married? No, it doesn't mean that. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there are two types of attachments, the spiritual attachment and the material attachment. So don't get materially attached. Yes, any service that we do for Krishna is spiritual attachment. The service, devotional service, bhakti. Bhakti is a glue. Bhakti is an attachment. But it is not a material attachment. It is a spiritual attachment. And therefore, bhakti is the most important. Yoga. Yoga means to link up. Now, even if you linked up these two pieces of wood and then you didn't put the glue in there, it got delinked. Right? Even if there was a... I remember as a child we used to learn carpentry. It's called dovetail fitting. So it's like a male-female socket type of thing, you know, dovetailing. So you have that and you cut it in such a way that one piece slides into the other piece. But then it can slide back and that's called divorce. In the material world. So in this world, Maharaj was saying that in USA, for instance, 67% of the marriages end up in divorce within the first 5 years. My God, how is that? My wife and I are married 42 years now. Of course, there were a few days of difficulties, but that doesn't matter. We still felt that we had to do service for Krishna and for the children, of course. Who were Krishna's children, not ours. So, and they are all devotees, fortunately, all chanting. So then, the fact of the matter is, bhakti is the divine glue. Because I have to use language which we use every day. Bhakti is the divine glue. And if there's no divine glue, there's no bhakti, boy, you are separate. You are divorced from Krishna. It's as simple as that. And then what happens is a very interesting thing. That is, Maya is just around the corner. Oh, you are so nice. Maya starts praising us, you know. And it usually starts in teenage, when the boy is 16 or 17 years old, the girl is 15 years old. They look into each other's eyes and they say, oh, your eyes are like, somebody may say rose, somebody may say almonds or whatever. Actually, those eyes are not for eating, you know. It can't be like almonds. Because almonds are supposed to be for eating. But anyway, whatever it is. Sometimes they even say your eyes, there are stars in your eyes. Now stars are miles, millions of miles away. So what you are trying to tell that girl is go away millions of miles. But actually, that would be a sannyasi who would say that. But the fact of the matter is that these are the youngsters and they get attached materially to stars and to almonds and to roses because they have no concept of the spiritual comparison because they are not trained spiritually. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you are not materially attached but you are procreating children for service to Krishna, then you should be married. Otherwise, you shouldn't even bother. 99% of people who come to Maharaj with problems, family problems, are saying to him, why did I ever get married to that stupid man? The woman says. And Maharaj usually is wondering, why are they asking me? I am a sannyasi. I never got... Radharath Maharaj told me once. He says, I get questions being asked to me and I've never had that experience or done that. You just read his book. Anybody has read his book? Maharaj's book? Anybody read? Oh, you should all read his book. Every one of you. Just finish this after this lecture. Go down and pick up a copy. I tell you, it's the greatest, greatest investment you can ever make. Maharaj's book. The Journey Home. Because all of us have to make that journey home. Okay? Is that clear? We have to make the journey home to Golok Vrindavan. And he's showing in his book everything that he made the journey home. And these are the obstacles. How many obstacles Maharaj had in that book? He had life-threatening obstacles. He nearly died so many times. He had this stupid woman who was a Dutch woman. I don't know how a Dutch woman got there in Kabul. And there was a huge big giant of a man who was his bodyguard. She wanted to mate with him. And Maharaj had to run for his life. Now normally a man doesn't run for his life, you know. He runs for his pants. But the point is, Maharaj was just not interested. If you see, step by step, how a young man of 19 became fully Krishna conscious. How he surrendered to Prabhupada. That's in the book. And one can learn, emulate from that. One can understand. And fortunately for us, two more books are coming. Or at least one more, I know. The other one coming around. So we are all looking forward to the second book. So how many are going to buy the book today? Okay, you're buying. You're buying. You're buying. Three, four. Four only. Are kya baat hai? Five. Acha. Please buy the book today. I beg of you. The reason is, that is the practical understanding of what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam was written thousands of years ago. It's valid. I don't say it's not valid. It's valid today. But just like there are stories in Srimad Bhagavatam about Chitraketu Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj or Amrish Maharaj, here is Radhanath Maharaj. It's as simple as that. So it's an extension. You can read something which is so practical. And everyone wants to be a perfect person, isn't it? It's obvious. Everyone wants to go home back to God. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in the hall here. You should be in a cinema hall or something. I don't know whether they're open now, but anyway. That's pure Maya. Cinema halls are fantastic examples. You pay your hard-earned money, you get into a black hole, you look at a screen, and somebody thousands, you know, nowadays they have these, what do they call, multiplexes? Thousands of miles away, through a satellite, they're transmitting a film, and those guys are earning a lot of money, the actors and the film producers and everybody. And you keep on paying money and keep on crying because there's a girl there. She's crying. The boy's crying. Everybody's crying. There's a romance. Romance is broken. And then you equate yourself with that girl or with that boy. That's the problem. We attach ourselves or we become more, we get a feeling that, oh, I also am suffering. Like that poor girl there. Ishwara Rai is not suffering. She's rich. She's got all the wealth of the world. And she's right there with all her lipsticks and all makeups. And then you think, oh, the poor Ishwara Rai. Or, oh, poor so-and-so Bachchan or whatever. So he's not going to bachav anybody. His name is Bachchan, but the real bachav is right here. Srimad Bhagavatam. That's going to save you. So you just have to read this Bhagavatam very carefully. And here it says, according to Srila Prabhupada, what Krishna consciousness means is to desire what Krishna desires. It's very simple. He defines. Prabhupada defines what is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness means that for instance, I'll give you an example. My consciousness is I want to eat prasad or I want to go somewhere. So my consciousness leads me to that place. But Krishna's consciousness is his desire, Krishna's desire, what he wants. So we have to dovetail our desire to his desire. We have to, as they say in sailing language, put our sail, turn our sail in the direction of the wind. Then you can move forward. So, first try to understand what is Krishna's desire. And that's the first step towards Krishna consciousness. If you don't know what Krishna desires, you'll never become Krishna conscious. Never. Impossible. Because you don't know what Krishna's desire is. And therefore, you're not even at base one, as they say in baseball or whatever. You not even enter the stadium. So how are you going to run for the race? You see? So you've got to first understand what Krishna wants. So what Krishna wants is there in Bhagavad Gita. What's that shloka? Man mana mad bhakta mad mam namaskuru mameshwar. He says that very clearly. Think of me. Think of me means what? Janma karma che me devyam evam yo viti tatvata tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti so Arjuna. What is that? 4.9? Is that correct? Who's the scholar here? I think it's 4.9, Bhagavad Gita. So, in 4.9, shloka number 4.9, chapter 4, shloka 9, Krishna says that. Just read the Krishna books. Just read Srimad Bhagavatam. Just try to understand how Krishna appears. Just try to understand what Krishna does. That is good enough to make you Krishna conscious. That is good enough to take you home back to Godhead. Okay. Then, the other extreme are the asuras, who have only material desires, who have no Krishna conscious desires. And if we have a scale of 0 to 100, supposing the asuras are at 0 Krishna consciousness, there are the perfect person mentioned here is at 100% Krishna consciousness. But he is Krishna conscious in a shantaras, mentioned in this chapter. And the 13th chapter. He's in Shantaras. It's an example of Shantaras. If you want an example of pure Dasaras, go to Hanuman's chapter in Ramayana. Perfect person. Perfect example. Who's Hanuman? Hanuman is the youngest brother of Lord Shiva. Rudras. Huh? There are how many Rudras? 11 Rudras. They were born from the Prabhu Kutir of Brahma. And Brahma got angry or upset. But the youngest guy is youngest person or the devotee, he's a great devotee, he's right there. He's Hanuman. And he is the perfect example of Dasyaras. Instantly he would do it. He would not think of his own convenience or anything. Then Sakhyaras, which are the example of Sakhyaras. There are many, many examples. Krishna himself says, because you are my dear friend to Arjun, you were there at the time when I first spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Viveshwan, I think it's the third chapter, fourth chapter, beginning of the fourth chapter. So, and Arjun says, I've forgotten. He's playing the role like us, you know, we've forgotten. We forget everything. How many of you here in this room remember what vegetable you ate 3 days ago at lunch? Anybody remember here? No. All right, yesterday, what vegetable did you eat for lunch? Do you remember? You looked at it, you smelt it, you tasted it, you digested it. It's gone. It's gone from your memory also. Isn't it? So we forget. We even forget what we eat. What to speak of anything else. It's happened, at least it happens more to people like me who are older. We meet a person and he starts saying, how are you, Prabhuji? I like this. Lie like that, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is this guy's name? I forgot. You see? And he knows my name, but I forgot his name. So it happens to all of us. So we forget. We have a tendency to forget. Why? Because we are conditioned souls. We are not that perfect person. We are trying to become perfect. But we can only become perfect by association of perfect persons like Srila Prabhupada through his books. So what are the imperfections? Our senses are imperfect. The eyes, ears, nose, throat, everything, imperfect. And therefore, because our senses are imperfect, we have propensity to make mistakes. Right? Because we use our imperfect senses and therefore we make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, we are in illusion. Did I do this right or wrong? Did I eat my medicine this morning or didn't eat? How many times has happened to you, Mataji? Happened? Subah mein bhul gaya na? Ke maine sala khaya hi nahi khaya aaj ki medicine. Sometimes you eat twice, right? It happens. Illusion. We get an illusion. Why? Because we have imperfect senses. We have propensity to make mistakes. We get an illusion. And then the worst thing happens. We don't want anybody to know about it. I am not imperfect. So I have a propensity to cheat. I don't say you are cheaters. I'm just saying propensity to cheat. That's what Prabhupada says. Propensity means the seed is there, but it could be fried. It could, if it's fried, then no plant will come out of it. You know, if you take a seed, say a lotus seed, and fry it, then what happens? It becomes food. You see, for Ekadashi. You just open it and then there's a white thing inside. So it becomes food for Ekadashi. It becomes a good thing. So if you don't fry it and put it in the ground, it'll become a plant. So we should remove all the weeds. That's why, no? They say anarthas are like weeds. So we have to remove all these weeds, and therefore, if we remove more and more of the weeds and we keep chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we become sincere by chanting, and we become serious. Radhanath Maharaj few Sundays ago gave us a formula. Become serious. Everybody knows what is to become serious. Do you know what is serious? The opposite of seriousness is a person who is not serious. Obviously. Who's childish or who taking things lightly or not taking into account, you know, the importance of a thing. So when you become serious about something, you put all your attention to it, 100%. So if you are serious and you are sincere and you don't have any ulterior motives, then you become Krishna conscious. Okay? That's, you remember Radhanand Maharaj spoke this a few weeks ago? And he repeated that 2 or 3 times. You remember? Because it's very important to repeat this. That's why I'm repeating as it is what the acharyas or the earlier gurus have said. It's always better to do that. Better not to cook up your own meals, you know, because they may turn out to be the wrong thing. So better to just dish out what is already prepared. So what is the formula? 3 things. Remember the 3 things? Always be serious. Always be sincere. And never have any material ulterior motives. Because whatever you want is going to happen in any case. You are going to get that money, you are going to get that position, you are going to get honor or respect or disrespect. Where is this mentioned? Can anybody in this room tell me, where is it mentioned? You will always get what you want to the extent of what is in your account. Respect, disrespect, and so on. Does anybody remember that? Where it is? It's in the Ramayana. It's in the Ramayana. In the Ramayana, when Bharatji returns from his mama's house, his uncle's house, he's shocked when he enters into Ayodhya. Everybody's crying. It's like Ayodhya is dead with Ram has left with Hanuman, Lakshman and Sita. And his father has died. He says, what the hell has happened? I just go out for a holiday and when I return, this is what happens. And he goes to Vasishtha Maharaj, the guru. And he's in a, you know, after all, it's Bharat is Chaturvyu. So Chaturvyu, Vasudev is Ram, Lakshman is Shankarshana, Pradyumna is Bharat, and Shatrughna is Aniruddha. Okay, I got it right. So, this Bharat is so shocked. He goes to Vasishtha Maharaj and he says, please don't ever do that, but he asks, you were here in Ayodhya. You were in Ayodhya, and how did you allow this to happen? These are the words he used. He was, you know, because he's a Kshatriya, he's in a fighting mood, or whatever mood. How did this ever happen? When you were here, how did you allow this to happen? When he heard all this, what happened? So what was the reply Vasishtha gave him? The Acharya replied, there are six things which are in the hands of your brother Ram, Bhagavan Ram. There are six things that are not in anybody's hands. Anybody remember the six things? Anybody? Nobody? How can that happen? Come on, Prabhuji. Six things are always in the hands of God. It is never in our hands. Janma, Mrityu, Labh, Hani, Yash, Apyash. Janma. It was not in your hands to be born as a man or a woman or, in India or anywhere else. It was not in your hand. Janma, Mrityu. Mrityu is not in your hands. I have seen with my own eyes, person who should 100% have died has lived through, survived somehow. All of us have experienced something or the other of that type, right? Or somebody who should never have died suddenly dies, right? So Janma, Mrityu, Labh, Hani. Labh means benefit, you know, money coming in or something coming in, Labh. Hani means destruction or, you know, loss, Hani. Janma, Mrityu, Labh, Hani, Yash and Apyash. I mean, I'm doing my job nicely in my office and suddenly I'm fired. Why? Because in New York, some idiot goes and does something wrong with Lehman Brothers and there is a whole escalation of subprimes and losses and banks failing and everything. And all my savings are gone, the bank has disappeared. So what happened? And I get an upyash. And I didn't deserve something and I got some banging in my office from my boss or whatever. Or sometimes I didn't deserve it and yet somebody comes around and says, oh, Prabhuji, this is the best class you ever gave. I know for a fact that wasn't the best class. Not only me, but there are so many others who have given much better classes. But that's what happens. You see? So these six things are not in the hands of human beings. Please try to understand that. Human beings can never, never control these six things. According to Vasishtha Maharaj. I'm not saying it. It's a Ramayana saying it. Okay? And that's an authority. Please write it down. Next time I ask you, at least one person should say it. Janma, Mrityu, Labh, Hani, Yash, Apyash. These six things are never in the hands of human beings. Or anybody except in the hands of God. Why? Because God says, I just don't want competition. It's as simple as that. He says, some of the things should be with me, right? Otherwise, everybody will be God. And that's not possible. God is always God. It's not that he becomes a God. It's not that he goes to a university and becomes a God. He doesn't get blessed and becomes a God. God was always a God, even when he was a small child like Krishna, killing Putna. He had all the strength, all the authority, he had all the opulence, all the beauty, all the wealth, even as a little child Krishna, few days old. Same as a grown-up Krishna in Kurukshetra war. Okay? So, these six things are always in the hands of God. I think it's nearly 10 o'clock. We have a few minutes. I'll stop here. Thank you for tolerating me. And if there's any questions or any comments, yes, Mataji, give her the mic. And then afterwards, this gentleman in the striped shirt.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Of course, I'll say it was a very beautiful lecture. But my question is not exactly related to today's lecture, I, being a woman, less intelligent, many things bewilder me and I want to clear it. It was 22nd March, Maharaj was giving the lecture. And earlier also I heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells to Maya, to Parvati, you are my Radharani. And it was mentioned in 22nd March lecture that Radha is the Ahladini Shakti of Krishna. And she is a bhakti personified. And Krishna is always under the control of Bhakta and he is under control of Radharani.
Bhakta Vatsala.
Yeah. And he is under control of Radharani, who is his internal Shakti. And when he says, you are my Radharani, to Maya, and when she becomes Maya, that she has got all the three gun, Rajagun, Tamagun, Satagun, they don't touch Krishna. Here he controls Maya. So it is very bewildering for me. On one hand, he is under the control of Radha. On the other hand, when she becomes Maya, and he is keeping her under her
control. Did everybody understand that question? It's a very, very important question. You can give the mic to this gentleman. I'll answer you. And please listen to this answer. Okay? Has anybody got a coin in his pocket? Anybody? Yeah? Show me the coin. Take it out. I want to... I'll return it back. Don't worry. Okay, Mataji. Here's a coin. All right? Now, this side... There is three lions, and these three lions have got heads. So it's called the head side of the coin. And this side is known as the tail of the coin, right? Now, can you give me a coin which has only heads? Can you give me a coin which has only tails? I'll return it. Who's the owner? You? So, Maya has two sides, okay? Just like that coin. It's valuable, right? It's valuable. Coins are valuable. You agree with me? Okay. It has value. 5 rupees means that was a coin. So it has purchasing power. What does it have? Purchasing power. Power is an energy. Okay? Right? Electric power is an energy. It's purchasing power. So when you go to a shop and you say, here, shopkeeper says, I need 5 rupees for that thing. You pay this coin, 5 rupees. You are giving both. The head and the tail, right? The shopkeeper says, sorry, I only recognize heads. I don't recognize tails. I don't want your tail side of the coin. What would you say? You're mad, right? This coin, it gets, when you get a coin, you get both. Yogmaya and Mahamaya come together. Okay? It's your vision. Just like on a coin that you said as heads. But behind that head, there is a tail, which you can't separate. Can you separate it? Yogmaya and Mahamaya are right there. Because Kans caught that child, female child. It appeared to Kans, death personified as Mahamaya. Do you think Krishna's twin sister is Yogmaya or Mahamaya? Yogmaya, because you are a devotee. You are not a demon. But if you were a demon, you would say Mahamaya. You understood it? You understand? When Krishna appeared, this is very, very important, 4.9. Janma karma cha me divyam yavavan yo vitya tyatvata. Taktva deham puna janma naimiti so Arjuna. When Krishna appeared, there he is, appeared. So when Krishna appears, okay, see that's a sign that Krishna wants you to see. Krishna wants you to see him. When Krishna appeared, he appears with Yogmaya. You know this? You know this? How do you know this? Precisely, exactly. She covered Yashoda Mai and she went to full deep rest, sleep. She even didn't know that she has given birth. She gave birth to twins. The girl is Yogmaya, and the boy is Krishna. Means I'm trying to say boy, but it's actually Krishna. He's not a boy. I mean, he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but I'm just saying from an explanation point of view. Who did Vasudev pick up? Who did Vasudev pick up? He picked up Yogamaya, the girl, right? And whom did he put down on the bed? Vasudev Krishna from Mathura, born in Mathura. And that Vasudev Krishna entered into that Vrindavan Krishna. Okay? Where is it mentioned? In the fourth para, page number 2 of Krishna book, chapter number 1. Has anybody got chapter number 1? Has anybody got Krishna books? Here? Have you read the Krishna book? Have you read the Krishna book? Have you read it? Chapter 1. Sorry? Very good. Excellent. Always hear Maharaj's lecture. It's much better than mine. The point I'm driving at, in chapter 1, read this chapter very thoroughly. Okay? Right in the beginning. Introduction and right in the beginning. There's a fourth para. It's mentioned by Prabhupada. All, he says, not one, all, not two, not ten, not million, all the expansions of Lord Krishna enter into Krishna at that time. Narsingh Bhagavan came, because all that killing is done by Narsingh Bhagavan or Vara Bhagavan or Matsya Avatar. Because they all were attracted to this Krishna of Vrindavan. He's all attractive. All means all. All does not mean partial. All means every one of them. Not only Krishna is attractive to us human beings, but Krishna is attractive even to his expansions, who have left Krishna, want to enter back to do the Leela, to enjoy. Leela means to enjoy. Okay? That little girl who was brought back by Vasudev into the jail, you remember that? And then what happened? The jail keepers went running to Kans, and Kans came running down, puffing and huffing and hissing, and he picked up that little girl by the legs and tried, he couldn't succeed. He tried to smash her like the earlier. Who were the earlier six? Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Mad, Matsa. Those were the six children. How? They were earlier cursed. They were the six Vasus who had tried to steal Kamdhenu cow from the Brahmana, you know, the Acharya, whose only wealth was a Kamdhenu cow. And these guys tried to steal that cow, and he cursed them to appear, and then they were killed instantly. Okay. So that was that. Those six guys. Those six Jivatmas. The seventh one was Balramji, who was transported to Rohini's womb. The eighth one was Vasudev Krishna, who was carried across to Gokul. And that Krishna, who was carried across, merged into baby Krishna, who appeared, who never left Golok Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Eventually, Krishna enters the heart of Radharani. And Radharani is looking everywhere except inside her heart. And she's crying, crying, crying. All the gopis are crying. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? But Krishna is in the heart of Radharani. He's hiding in her heart. And he's enjoying himself. And that's where he gets the bhava of Radharani. And that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. In the color of Radharani. And in the mood of Radharani. That's the combination. It's like, you know, when you cook something nice, there's a combination of rice and milk and sugar and, you know, all sorts of nice things. And that becomes sweet rice, you know. So, Krishna is all sweetness because of that. So, when Maharaj says Maya, he's saying Yoga Maya for you, because you are a devotee. But if it's a non-devotee outside listening through the mic, he says Maya, Mahamaya. Because he has a Kans consciousness. You have a Krishna consciousness. The consciousness changes Maya from Mahamaya to Yogamaya. If you are not Krishna conscious, you only accept Mahamaya. Does that answer your question, Mataji? Everything is Yogamaya, really speaking. If you are a pure, perfect person, everything is Yogamaya. There is no Mahamaya. Because you are already a liberated person, liberated from Mahamaya. When you are liberated, you are liberated from Mahamaya. What are you liberated from? Somebody says, he's a liberated soul. He's liberated from what? Mahamaya. Don't say Maya. Mahamaya. Be specific. Now never say Maya. Either say Mahamaya or you say Yogamaya. Be specific. Perfect in your answer. Okay? Next person. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. My question is, this material world is a perverted reflection of spiritual world. Here we have our families, relatives. So what kind of relationships are there in spiritual world between jivatmas? Jivatma and Krishna, there is a servant-master relationship or relationship of friendship or lover. But what kind of relationship is there between two jivatmas or jivatmas there?
Wonderful question. I had asked the same question many, many years ago. First of all, in this material world, who pays whom in the servant in your house? You are the master, and the servant is supposed to serve for you. So who pays the servant? You, right? In the spiritual world, it's the servant who pays the master. Perverted reflection. So everything has to be the other way. Clear? Okay. There is a relationship, but the relationship, everything is there, what is here, but it's a perverted reflection is here. Is that clear now? The tree, that's a 15.1. The tree appears in the reflection of the river as ulta. The leaves are all below and the trunk is on top. Have you ever seen such a tree here? No. But it is there in the spiritual world. Okay? Because that's a perverted reflection. Is that clear now? So all the relationships are there. So what happens is when the Jivatma gets promoted for the first time out of the material world into the spiritual world, he's born in the womb of a gopi. You are trained for your first life in the spiritual world. Is that clear? Because you need training. You've not had training. You have got all the training here of a materialist. Okay? So when your first time back again in the spiritual world, you get back your original spiritual body by being born in the womb of a gopi. Okay? And it's that mother who will train you with other gopis to be a perfect person, spiritual person, back again. And you learn the language and you learn everything all over again. Okay? Then it's that gopi who says, this is your father, the mother. Because it's the Bhagavad Gita. Gita means what? Mother. Right? It's Veda. Isn't it? How do you know this? Who tells that? Who tells that? Adi Shankaracharya. Adi Shankaracharya says, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrasya Namani Yani Karmya Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Ekam Shastram. There is only one Shastra. Adi Shankaracharya says. Who is Adi Shankaracharya? Lord Shiva. Who is telling him? He is telling whom? Parvati. Where? Padma Puran. Okay. Ekam Shastram. There is only one Shastra. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Devaki, you know Devaki, his putra is Krishna. Devaki putra Gitam, Gita. Ekam Shastram Devaki putra Gitam. Ekam Shastram Devaki putra Gitam. Eko Devo, Devaki putra Eva. Again he's repeating. There's only one God. Forget about anything else. There's nobody else. Ekam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. When you repeat in Sanskrit, it means you're drilling it through a thick skull, you know, back into your brain. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. Eko Mantra Se Namani Yani. There is only one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam, Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva, Eko Mantrasya Namani Ani, Karmya Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva. There is only one Seva you have to do, eventually. Because if you do Seva of Krishna, the benefit goes to everyone, because it's like the root of a tree. If you water the root, every twig, branch, leaf, fruit, flower, everyone gets the nourishment. Clear? Is that clear? Okay. So, just keep this concept very clearly in your mind, that there are relationships in the spiritual world. There is great fun and happiness in the spiritual world. Not happiness, bliss. Because against happiness, there is distress in this world. But in the spiritual world, there is ananda, bliss. Okay? There's no opposite. It's absolute. That is the meaning of the word absolute. And those relationships are such that the elder brother wants always the younger brother to win. Where is that? Kahan hai wo? Where is the proof of that? Because there must be praman, proof, what I'm saying. Again in the Ramayana. Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna, Bharat. When they were little children, they used to play games. And the game is that the person who wins is the one who loses the most. Can you imagine that now? Can you imagine that now? Each one is trying to make the other person win more. Here in the material world, when children play, they want to grab more for himself, right? And say, I won, right? But in Ramayana, when these four kids were playing, they were making sure that the other guy got more, and therefore the competition was to pass on more benefit to the other one. That's called pure love. That's definition of pure love. When you want more, to give to the other person than to take. And take nothing for myself. Is that clear? Any other questions or comments? Since there are none, Hare Krishna.